Our guy, Eric Smith,
man,
bringing
it. Electric.
Bringing it. I can just see you. I can visualize you while you were actually like pantomiming, hitting three-point shots there.
That's an amazing word.
You're welcome. I could see you, though, like celebrating these big shots. Freddie.
Right, getting out of my seat.
His two made threes in the last, five minutes. Getting out of your beer puddle and getting on your feet. We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and we are joined by our insider, Aaron Rose, Raptors reporter at Sports Illustrated, and of course, the insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. What's going on, Aaron?
Well, that certainly got me fired up first thing in the morning. You're right.
It's pretty good, eh?
Eric Smith, a fun game last night, and Eric Smith calling a great game.
Fun game, and I think it was fun in part because it wasn't a defensive masterclass. I think the Raptors were struggling a little bit, not to start with the negative, on the defensive end, at least early in that game. But they did tighten up. They did put the clamps on the Hornets eventually. What was sort of the turnaround in that game, at least from the defensive standpoint, to allow for a fairly comfortable victory in the end?
Well, as Nick said after the game, basically their best defense last night was the fact that they were scoring as much as Charlotte was at the other end. So that was certainly the recipe for success when it came to staying even with them. But I think there was like a six-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where the Raptors just got a ton of stops. And as I was saying, if you're putting up a bunch of points and you're keeping even with Charlotte, if you can just get a couple stops, and as we saw, they did that early in the fourth quarter, and then you know, kept pulling away, and eventually they broke through. Fred hit a couple threes. I think you heard it there. OG hit a couple threes, and that was enough to just stay right in front of a Charlotte team that can put up a ton of points.
Okay, so the big news of the day was Otto Porter Jr. Electing or having to opt for season-ending surgery. There's something about best-laid plans in the Raptors this year that includes Otto Porter Jr. The level of disappointment, how many eggs were in that basket, like, is this sort of the microcosm of their season that they, you know, there was high hopes and something has sort of unexpectedly turned and it hasn't worked out the way they expected?
I guess, like, if you sign Otto Porter Jr. and you know anything about his career is entirely laden with injuries. Now, I'm not sure he's ever had, maybe he's had like one season where he's had a year like this where he just basically hasn't played. But you can't sign an injury-prone player who's off and then, you know, thinks that it's out of the question that he's going to get injured. So I guess if you were putting all your eggs in that basket, it was probably not a very good decision. It wasn't a ton of money they gave him. I think the $6 million this year, he has a player option for $6.3 next year. But again, like you couldn't really count on this guy. I don't think they were counting on him a ton, but they could certainly use his three-point shooting, and that was just something they never got this season. But at the same time, he was never in the plans because he missed training camp. He missed the preseason. He came back for like eight games and then got hurt again. And I think this team realized that he just wasn't someone they could count on at least anytime soon. And that now at least they have the peace of mind knowing that he's not coming back. And you know, whatever thought there was that he might be back, let's move on and let's try and find somebody either, I guess, off the bench. Maybe we could talk about that disabled player exception that they'll probably get. Maybe they can try and replace him, but it's going to be tough to replace a guy who's a 40% career three-point shooter.
Yeah, and you mentioned that bench. I think it's been a happy improvement. Maybe over the last two games, they've played a lot more impactful in terms of the Raptors, letting their starters have less of a workload. No players have played over 40 minutes in the last two games, which has shown that the depth can work and the depth can help alleviate some of the pressure on the starters. What has been the biggest change in terms of the last two games as a sample size being a bit more impactful and helping, you know, the overall makeup of the roster and the way that the Raptors deploy their starters and their bench?
So we could go positive or we could go negative here. And I guess the positive is that Precious Achiuwa, aside from a really, really rough start last night, looked really, really good last night after his boneheaded, you know, drive to the rim that went nowhere. But he banged in a couple three-pointers. He looked pretty good on defense. He and Chris Boucher appeared to find a rhythm. Chris played a really good game. And I think some of it is just getting a rhythm back in terms of Precious Achiuwa missed like 24 games, basically 2 months. He was out of rhythm. This is still a young guy who's developing, and I think it's going to take him some time to find his footing. It looked like he found that last night. I think having him back opens up a little bit more opportunity for Chris Boucher, who can now slide in beside Precious Achiuwa and play a little differently because he has Precious as his side. size, excuse me. So that is probably optimistic way of looking at it. You could also look at it and say the Portland Trailblazers have the worst bench in the NBA and the Raptors beat them, and Charlotte isn't a very good team. So part of it might just be the Raptors are playing some bad teams and the benches look good when you play bad teams. So I guess you could look at it both ways, but certainly a boost, and at least if they're giving their starters a little bit of wiggle room, you know, every minute you can save off Fred VanVleet right now is probably something you should not take for granted.
Yeah, at least against Charlotte, the Gary Trent plus bench unit was an impressive one for the Raptors, and it's been a tool that Nick Nurse can go to, at least recently here. It seems like it's not only a tool, but it's a perfect sort of showcase ground for Gary Trent Jr., who might be playing himself into a higher-end trade chip than we originally thought. What do you make of his game and what his future might hold, as he is the most obvious trade piece for the Raptors, who are, of course, considering their options leading up to the trade deadline?
Well, they moved him into the starting lineup. Originally he was a starter, then they moved him to the bench, and then they moved him back to a starter. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that he's one of their best players right now, one of their five best players. But that's probably also has to do with the fact that they're probably trying to showcase him a little bit, get him more playing time, get him more opportunities, show the league that this guy's a really, really good scorer, really good shooter. And I think you mentioned those bench lineups. Part of that, I think, is just Knicks searching for anything right now. But I probably wouldn't have guessed that would be a good bench lineup, Gary in the bench. But as you mentioned, the past couple of games, it's looked really, really good. The other thing that has caught my attention a couple of times is we remember early in the season, Nick called out Gary and said, like, if he doesn't pick up his defense, I think the words were something along the lines of he can either fit in or he's going to have to fit out, something like that. And that all, you know, caught our attention that he's going to have to play better if he wants to be a long-term piece of the Raptors. And everything Nick has said about him lately has been he's a total professional. And I've gotten a sense from talking to him a little bit is he's like not paying too much attention. He sees everything. He knows what everyone's talking about. He knows that his name is being circled around. But it's, as we can see, it's not affecting his play on the court. And he was totally happy with the move to the bench earlier in the season, was welcoming, you know, anything coach wanted to do. Now, maybe Nick is just pumping him up because, as we've talked about, he could be traded. But at the same time, I tend to believe him because I've gotten that sense, too, that this is a guy who's a true professional. I think when you're talking about players people want around the league, that's always a good place to start, is someone who's going to accept whatever role you give them and is going to, you know, be a team player.
So I think Raptors fans are in an interesting position right now because you can kind of find validation if you choose to look in a specific place. We got Mark Stein coming out yesterday or this week and saying that, hey, it might just be Gary Trent Jr. who's the trade chip. And then you've got, you know, also this week, Tim Bontemps of ESPN saying, you know, teams are waiting on the Raptors to make decisions and that everything could be on the table and that they could really set the market and take advantage of this moment in time. So I guess I'm asking you what your sense the reality is and what the expectation or the move should be from the Raptors given the position they're in. Of course, they're coming off a win against Charlotte. They're on a little bit of a winning streak on home floor right now against softer competition, but they really labored through a difficult 13-game stretch leading into the new year. Where do you think the Raptors are? Where do you think they're going, big picture? And I guess, who's more right down south?
Well, I think it's certainly the case that the Raptors are going to wait a little while. I guess there's no rush in making a move unless you really wanted the hard pivot and tank. Maybe getting those guys, getting rid of some players now would help in the loss column, I suppose, is one way to put it. I saw some stat recently. The Raptors have played like the hardest schedule in the NBA in terms of like opponent win record. And the rest of the season, they have one of the easiest schedules in the NBA. So you could look at it and say, listen, this team has dealt with some injuries. They're healthy right now. Not that that's something you can count on. They just battled through a really, really tough part of the schedule. Now they have an easy one and they should be able to get in the play-in mix and potentially win, you know, a couple play-in games, a play-in game and get into the playoffs. And not that I expect them to knock off one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, but there's a way of looking at it and saying that's possible. But at the same time, you could look at those stats and say, wait, if they always are losing to the hardest teams in the league, the best teams in the league, and then they go on a run and they beat a bunch of the bad teams, doesn't that tell us that they're not actually a really good team, that that record they might have at the end of the month is sort of fake, and they end up being sort of a middle-of-the-pack team, and that's where nobody wants to be. So I think it's probably a good decision. They've banked a lot of losses, that it's probably wise to sort of pivot in a way that they didn't think they were going to have at the beginning of the year. This was not an opportunity. This was a playoff team. At least that's what the expectations were. Now they have a bunch of losses. We know this is supposed to be a great draft. And now you have a chance to pivot and probably trade a Gary Trent Jr. At some point, you know, in the next month before the trade deadline. I still think it's tough to see OG Anunoby get traded. It would take a lot from a lot of other teams, but maybe that's an offer you can't resist. As I think I heard Zach Lowe talking about recently, if you get five or six or seven teams in a bidding war over OG Anunoby, maybe the price becomes something the Raptors can't turn down. But ultimately, I could see just one move. I think that's the track record of Masai Ujiri, is that he's going to make small moves, incremental moves over the years. And maybe some fans get upset because he's not going out and trading for a superstar all the time. You know, he did it once. But ultimately, I could see it probably just being one small move. I think the situation Toronto doesn't want to be stuck in is sort of, you know, losing in the play-in tournament and ending up with the 15th pick in the draft and being, as everyone knows, stuck in the middle.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Gary Trent Jr., Fred also, I guess, on the table to some degree, at least it seems. But OG really is the fascinating trade chip, at least for me. I'm watching that game last night, and I'm thinking, that is the fourth option on a championship team. If he goes to a contender and he fits into a role which is best suited for him, he can be absolutely a difference maker for a team trying to win a title this year. And I can't really shake the end of last season, where there was speculation that he was unhappy and that he wanted something more and what he actually wanted to be as an NBA player, and maybe his role is more defined now and he understands what his value is as an NBA player. But I don't think we should just forget about that. I mean, I think they have to have these real conversations and they have to figure out what not only the team wants, but what these players want, because in the end they will have some power. So I guess when you look at what the Raptors have in terms of trade assets, I feel like OG's the most expensive or the most valuable, given that he makes a certain amount of money and he can do a certain, he has that certain skill set. Is he, if on the table, is there an argument for him being like the trade chip, the most valuable trade chip that could be talked about leading up to the trade deadline?
Well, so Michael Grange and I were chatting about this the other day, and I'm going to say I don't think the Raptors are going to trade Pascal Siakam. So let me start there. But we were talking about who's more valuable. Obviously, Pascal Siakam is a better player. But when you look at his age, the contract, when you look at the skill set in the sense that if you're trading for Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby, Pascal's better, and it might take a little bit longer to work him into the system because he needs the ball in those things. As you were just mentioning, OG Anunoby is one of those guys where you throw him in the corners offensively, you stick him on the opposing team's best player defensively, and he fits in. You know, it takes him a couple games, and then you're off and running, and he is that fourth or fifth offensive option and the guy that every team needs defensively to win a championship. So that's a plug-and-play guy that I think, you know, if, again, we hear all these rumors that every team in the league is looking at Toronto saying, what is Toronto going to do? They're probably looking at the Raptors saying, okay, our number one option is OG Anunoby. Is Toronto going to make him available? If they don't, okay, let's pivot. Let's see who else is available. But I don't think there's a guy right now who's available who has the kind of upside of OG Anunoby, both in terms of what he can do for you this year as a 3-and-D guy that every championship team needs. And I've been saying that for years, that even if he never becomes the Kawhi Leonard offensive guy that people had hoped from a few years ago, this guy is a 3-and-D guy that every championship team needs. So that's very valuable. Plus, he has another year on his contract. Plus, he's only 25. So we've heard rumors that, you know, he could get a Donovan Mitchell package in return. And if that's the case, you know, Masai Ujiri might really, really need to think about that. But at the same time, you're getting a ton of picks back, because what are you looking for? You're looking for an OG Anunoby type guy in the draft. So it's certainly a tough decision, but one that I'm thankful I'm not making right now.
We're speaking with Aaron Rose, Raptors reporter at Sports Illustrated. So we'll shift over to Fred, who is another undecided future in terms of what this organization sees. You know, the clock is ticking, though, to really figure it out if you can get him to stay in free agency or not with the trade deadline around the corner. The last thing you want is him to walk for free. The rumored $114 million contract extension was early in the week news, and, you know, now, whether that's true or not, that's something we'll find out, I'm sure, down the road. But what did you make of his appearance on J.J. Redick's podcast and the overall discussion around his future with this organization?
So, you know, that contract discussion, to touch on it briefly, is one of the more confusing things, because there's reports on every side of that thing. Even he himself said it wasn't formally offered in the summer, But then he said he could sign it today. So does that mean it is on the table right now? Could he sign it today? We know he could literally, like, it's allowed to be signed today, but is it being offered today? So I don't know all those things. I think he was contradicting himself a little bit. But in terms of his future with the Raptors, I think this is a guy who's, right now, he's just in a funk. And last night we saw, I think he was 0 for 5 from three-point range until the fourth quarter when he hit those two big threes. And I think that he's being asked to do too much right now. And this was a team that wasn't constructed with a backup point guard who could alleviate some of his minutes. We talked about that earlier. And Fred isn't a number one guy on a championship team. He isn't a number two guy on a championship team. He's probably maybe a three when he's at his best, or maybe a four. And that's a really, really valuable guy. But to me, the most important thing, and if you've been around this team lately, you know that sometimes there's something going on. People aren't always getting along with one another. We saw that briefly, although they sort of said it was no big deal with Scotty Barnes and Thad Young. But I think you need an adult in the room, and I think Fred provides that. Pascal Siakam just wants to go out and play basketball. He's a great guy. He's a good leader. But I think Fred is really the leader of the team, and I think that's something you can't really put a value on. He is sort of the identity of this team, where we're a developmental organization, and I'm the guy who went from undrafted to all-star. So I would have a really, really tough time moving him, because I think he's so core to this team's identity and the leadership group that, yeah, you could have a Thad Young or an Otto Porter Jr., but they're not out there every single night and, in theory, playing at an all-star level. So I really think you need a guy. And people are saying, you know, why don't you trade him to Orlando? They could use a young guy. Or why don't you trade him to Oklahoma City? A veteran guy. Or why don't you trade him to Oklahoma City, because they could use a veteran guy? But you know who else could use a veteran guy? If you get rid of him, the Toronto Raptors could use a veteran guy. So I'd have a tough time getting rid of a guy like Fred.
Yeah, I think that's the big question. Like, I get all those points and it all makes sense. But can you pay the adult in the room with maybe a diminishing skill set market value in the moment? You know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that they're going to be weighing. And I guess continue to weigh, because it seems like there's not really a rush and Fred's not in a rush. But decisions could be made sooner than later. Let's go to two players who aren't going to be dealt at the deadline, at least we don't think, with Scotty Barnes and Christian Coloco forming, you know, that next iteration of team that's coming up here. Scotty Barnes, fascinating, because I'm watching a game last night where it's like, okay, maybe a little, you know, a little softer competition, a team that doesn't have as much that he has to deal with and fight through in the moment. And yet it seems like, yeah, the stat line's decent. He distributed the ball a reasonable amount, didn't exactly put up points, but, you know, the assists are nice. But it seems like more, he's kind of just existing a lot in games where he's there, he's on the floor, but he's not contributing much and he's not making his presence felt. What do you make of him sort of, you know, dipping in and out of relevance, at least it seems, from whistle to whistle, and where he's at with his sophomore season?
Well, it's been probably it's been a disappointing sophomore season, in the sense that I think expectations were really, really high for this year. But I tried to, you know, bring down those expectations coming into the year as much as I could. I think the organization did too, because this guy was, you know, never going to be an all-star this year or an all-NBA player this year. I think those were the expectations. But even for his standards from last year, he's regressed a little bit. And I think it's funny, because Nick came into last year, Scotty's rookie season, saying the most important thing is minutes. We got to get this guy as many reps as we can, and they did that. They put him in every situation. They were running him out there every night. And in that sense, it was a success. And this year he came into the year, and goal number two was making sure he was playing with that joy that he had. And I think that we're not seeing as much. And maybe Nick was onto something. He knew it coming into the year, because we asked him, and he said, like, the goal for him is making sure he plays with that joy. And it's there sometimes, and it's not there other times. And sometimes it takes him a little while. We've seen that recently, where it takes him until the second half or the fourth quarter. And I think he's a really, really good passer. And I think that's where that's sort of core to his identity, is he wants to play facilitator. But in the NBA, when you're sort of the star player and he's not there yet, you sort of need to develop that offensive package. And I think he's coming along. He's not used to the way teams are defending him. But I think it's some struggles. I think it's some learning at the NBA level. You can say development's never linear, and I think we're seeing that with him this year. But I don't think it's time to panic or anything. But I think this team is going to have to spend a lot of time in the offseason sort of figuring things out with him and making sure he's locked in and sort of correcting some of the mistakes and finding that joy he played with as a rookie.
I think there's certainly a lot to be gleaned from, you know, a year of learning and experience and maturing. And I think that's kind of what the sophomore year could be for Scotty Barnes. At least we hope that we see that this means something down the road in terms of meaningful growth. Somebody that's also young and on that same pathway and maybe not as prolific is Koloko, who's showing recently some signs of promise. Last night, Justin was mentioning, you know, great passing. He's a guy that has these spurts of, oh, yeah, that's what we want from him. What were your expectations for him, and have they changed at all this season?
You mentioned that pass he threw last night to Gary Trent Jr. I was like, I didn't know that was in his bag. That was a really, really nice pass. Pascal said something the other day about him. He's finally jumping. When he goes up and he's around the rim, he's finally jumping. And that was something that he thought, because you're 7'1", I guess you think you can just stand and dunk. But there's some big guys down there, too, on the other team. And he's got to go up and he's got to throw it down with force. But, you know, coming into the year, this was a guy, and I said on the record, it's a guy who's going to spend a ton of time with the Raptors 905 because he is a second-round pick. He hasn't been playing basketball for that long. He's very raw, and he's going to need a ton of time to develop. And he hasn't seen any 905 time. So I guess I was wrong about that. He's exceeded my expectations. It looked really good at the start of the season, at least relatively speaking. Then it got pretty rough there for a little bit. He was fouling way too much. His defense was, you know, falling off a little bit, and he couldn't finish around the rim. And now, over the past couple of games, he seems to be sort of on the other side of that. It's still going to take a lot of time. And ideally, this isn't a guy who's in your center rotation playing a ton of minutes because he was whatever it was, the 33rd pick in the draft. But I think we're seeing some of the fruits of the developmental group where he nailed that three-pointer, something I talked to him about recently. He's really working on that. His shooting mechanics are really good. His defense is getting there, still fouling, but I think part of that is, I don't know, refs don't know how to call him. He's getting some ticky-tack fouls that really he doesn't need to be called for right now. But I think he's coming along, and he's thrown a couple great passes lately. So I think there's a lot of promise in a guy that, you know, at least early in the season, I was not expecting very much from.
You mentioned smaller moves. One move, maybe a couple small moves, would be more of a realistic outcome for the Toronto Raptors and maybe more Masai Ujiri's style ahead of the trade deadline. So I wonder, you know, if they're going to be smaller moves, they've got to look probably to their bench to execute those moves. Can there be some value mined from the bench with the Toronto Raptors? Clearly it's been a bit of a sore spot this season, but when you look at the depths of the roster, are there a couple pieces that the Raptors could potentially parlay into a decent return or something to just support and help build that prospect and futures capital?
I think some of it is probably just for accounting. You know, you could throw Otto Porter Jr.'s contract into a deal with Gary Trent Jr. or something if you wanted to take money back. So I'm not sure there's some combination where you just throw, you know, Kemberg, Thad Young, and someone else into a deal and maybe a pick or something and you're getting anything back. I think ultimately if we see those guys move, it's going to be very, very small deals, but more likely it'll probably be just for accounting purposes. I'm not sure any teams out there, you know, dying to get their hands on a Thad Young. Maybe his contract has a little bit of value because it's non-guaranteed next season, and he's a good veteran player. But we saw last night he was a did-not-play coach's decision. Kem Birch, I don't think, has any value right now. Otto Porter, as we know, is out for the year. So his value is only that he can be added to a deal in terms of his contract. Maybe Chris Boucher could get you something, but I'm not sure the Raptors are dying to move off Chris Boucher. And this team does need some sort of bench if they want to be at all competitive in the second half of the season. And I guess the question for them is, do they want to be at all competitive in the second half of the season? They're not going to move Precious Achiuwa. So and, you know, Malachi Flynn, I don't think, has very much value. Delano Banton hasn't played very much lately. So the problem for this Raptors team is the bench hasn't been very good. And I think teams around the league are going to look at Toronto and say, well, your bench isn't very good. We're not really interested in those guys.
And maybe that's the answer to our final question for you, Aaron. At the beginning of our show, we discussed a couple, you know, learning points or takes that we've taken from the very first half. You know, now we're exactly at the halfway point between this season for the Raptors. So for you, do you have a take? It doesn't have to be a hot take, but just a learning from the very, you know, the first 41 games of this season?
Well, I think we're learning the value of depth in the NBA. We always talk about the value of starting players. If you want to win a championship in the NBA, you have to have one of those top 5 to 10 players in the league. but I'm reminded every year, and you look back at that Raptors team that won a championship, that team had Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka coming off the bench. That hitting on your moves and filling out your bench is so crucial to success in the NBA, not only because you know you're going to have injuries, but because you can't rely on your starters to play crazy minutes and have sustained success. So I think that's a really big thing, making sure that, you know, Vision 6-9 is really, really good and it's fun and it's innovative, but at the same time, would it kill you to have a 7-footer? We know they have Christian Coloco, but again, he's the 33rd pick and a rookie. And on the other end of the spectrum, you know, having a ball handler, he doesn't have to be 6'7" or whatever. He can be 6'3". And I think having a backup guard, probably better than Malachi Flynn. So I was very excited about Vision 6'7", but I think that it might be time to start thinking about having options and having an option for a bigger guy and having an option for a smaller guy and making sure you fill out the depth, the bench, with a lot of talented players. That's easier said than done. But I think if that's the direction Toronto wants to go at the trade deadline, where they want to be buyers, keep in mind that it's not just adding stars to the team, it's adding bench players. And at the same time, if they want to sell off assets, it makes sense that if you were to trade an OG Anunoby, you're getting back players who, you're not going to get back a player as good as OG Anunoby, but maybe you get back, you know, three players who can help fill out the bench, because that's something the Raptors are going to need certainly next season.
It's definitely aligned with what we were thinking. You know, depth and development has been a point of maybe contention in terms of what fans want and what the management direction has been. And it obviously affects everybody's role, as you mentioned. It's not just what the bench can do. It's how that impacts what your starters are asked to perform. Aaron, appreciate you joining us this morning. Great insight from you, and hopefully we get to chat down the road.
For sure. Let's do it again with Charlotte tomorrow night.
Perfect. Aaron Rose, Raptors reported at Sports Illustrated, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
I think our takes weren't wildly misfired.
No. Stand by mine.
Stand by your takes?
Got a little validation and...
Good.
It's a nice
good
feeling.
Depth and development. And maybe someone taller than 6'9".
That could work. All right, we have the Wake and Rake next. Leafs hosting the Nashville Predators this evening, 7:30 on Sportsnet. And you have some futures, Justin Futures.
No, it's not anything I'm necessarily advocating for, but you said you wanted to do a team. You wanted like a Hall of Famer that we could circle, cheer for. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's used to, I don't know, buy hot dogs if we
get
win.
You to the Price is Right.
Get us to the Price is Right.
That's
Price is Right fund. So
like
we'll see. I got a couple nominations for you. So it's not me. It'll be you choosing.
Okay.
But I've got four potential futures bets in the NHL to discuss. Plus, I think we should just update the Miami-Buffalo line because there's some movement
there.
Happened. And why would that movement be? I guess we'll speculate after the break.
All right. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, The Wake and Rake with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's time for the Wake and Rake on the Fan Morning Show. Maple Leafs in action tonight against the Nashville Predators, a team that has been pretty great as of late.
Giving up shots, though.
Whoa. Holy smokes, talk about workload on a player.
Saros, not afraid to make a save.
What is it, 100 and something?
102 in his last two games. 68 saves last game, is that what,
he's
what it was?
He's icing the hip flexors.
Yeah. Maybe the goals will come. Law of averages
I'm
would suggest.
I'm not thinking that way, unfortunately, for my selection for the Wake and Rake.
Not
I'm going from the,
I mean,
the Leafs
UC
game
Saros
tonight.
Is, he's the guy right now.
And Austin Matthews is a game-time decision this evening. Bobby McMahon could make his NHL debut. TJ Brody on the shelf as well. As of yesterday, a couple injury reports. So maybe that impacts your perspective of this game. Certainly has for me.
Sorry, 67 saves two outings ago, another 38 in his last game, and he made 38
saves. Do they have defense back there?
38 saves on 38 shots for Saros in his last game. I think this actually segues beautifully, if you want to get off the Wake and Rake for a second, to the other things we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about a little team group, a little team future, something that we can rally behind, take notice of. And I'll just begin with UC Saros. UC Saros right now, in the Vezina market I'm looking at, is plus 2,800 to win the Vezina. We talked to Kevin Woodley at the start of the week. I guess it was Tuesday.
Yep.
We talked to him Monday, and we ran it Tuesday. He thought that either him or Sorokin would be the biggest challenger to Linus Ullmark, who is currently leading the Vezina Trophy at plus 150. So generally, when you're looking at a market like this, when someone's such a heavy favorite, is the favorite vulnerable in any way? The answer to that is no. The vulnerability is not there for Linus Ullmark. He's been incredible, and his team has been even more impressive than him.
But the Islanders aren't doing the hottest.
The Islanders are in the midst of it, and they're on a three-game losing streak, as you mentioned. But Sorokin has been what's held them in there. So Sorokin as second shortest odds makes sense, given the way he's played right now. But can he do enough to break through and surpass a guy like Linus Ullmark? Not probably by himself. I think Linus Ullmark has to give it away in order for him to not win the Vezina this year. But if you think there's a chance that he's not as good in the second half, what better than a guy like UC Saros, who can make 38 save shutouts, follow up a 67 save performance with a 38 save shutout? This is a guy who's playing at such a high level, and he's a little bit more exposed than the other teams, clearly, based on the fact that 67 shots were on target two games ago. But he might be playing at a level that's higher than anyone else. He just doesn't have the conditions to give him the numbers, at least yet. So I think if you're trying to find someone, it is a long shot to suggest that Linus Ullmark won't win. So choose a long shot if you're trying to fade UC Saros plus 2,800. Okay. What say you?
Plus 2,800. I'd like to hear your other options. I don't think that that's... like, my comfortability level with him over Sorokin is, I would definitely go that route, just because the Preds are now, like, clawing their way back in there. And I think team success, obviously, is going to be important to overcoming this. I don't believe that the Bruins and, like, are going to throw this away.
Okay.
History doesn't show.
So Linus Ullmark's got a hold on that. Let's go to a similar market, which is the Calder Trophy.
Okay.
Plus 150 for Linus Ullmark right now, plus 150 for Matty Beniers right now. He's the runaway favorite in terms of scoring forwards. His stat line is way better than anyone else's. However, Mason McTavish is making a little bit of a move out there in Anaheim. It's either Beniers or goaltender. That's been the discussion all season long to this point, because Beniers, again, running away with it. But do you give McTavish any chance of catching up? Because all he really needs to do is score more than Matty Beniers. So plus 700 that he overcomes Matty Beniers in the rookie scoring race. You have any interest in that?
What was Logan Thompson, the second best
Logan
odds?
Thompson right now is
still second
behind McTavish at plus 850, where I'm looking at.
Interesting.
Logan Thompson, for whatever reason, is not getting much respect from the odds board, but NHL.com did do a little survey.
See, that's why I was surprised.
And Logan Thompson was
second,
right behind Beniers. So that is an interesting one.
I might
do
that over.
So you're
Mason McTavish
turning down my options.
Well,
okay.
If it's all about goals and Matty Beniers, how far behind is Mason McTavish?
Not about goals, about scoring.
Scoring,
about, if he wins the scoring race,
yes, that's...
he will finish second or first or second. Like, that's just the way it is. It's like, it's kind of just a race. It's whoever puts up the most points. And right now, Mason McTavish is just 8 points back of Matty Beniers. If he can outscore him by 9 points, he should technically be considered the favorite, barring an extraordinary performance by one of the goaltenders. And there are a few goaltenders involved: Kochetkov, Thompson, Stuart Skinner. So you're more interested in Thompson.
The Ducks are just terrible. And I think that that's going to...
But that's the one thing. It's not like the Hart Trophy. They can be terrible. Mm-hmm. He can be great. And that's all he needs.
Right. But he needs a little bit of support to be great. Like, he can't do it all on his own.
Okay.
So I think if you're looking at the Kraken, who have been super impressive this season, 6-game winning streak, and also, like, led by one of their rookies, I would feel like it'd be pretty tough to jump over that. Whereas the Golden Knights, top of the Pacific, they're having a pretty outstanding performance from a rookie goaltender. I would pick that over Mason McTavish.
Okay. So we'll say that's a no. Or alternate Thompson.
Alternate option.
A more extreme favorite is Connor McDavid in the Hart Trophy market.
Okay, now we're talking.
So this is the one we asked Jeff Merrick about it. We've talked to Frank Saravelli about it. If there was ever a year for a non-playoff MVP to occur, it's this. McDavid is having an extraordinary generational season, and that's why he's a minus 300 favorite. However, there will be people who hold it against them if the Oilers don't make the playoffs, and guess what? It's not looking tremendously positive right now in Edmonton. The next shortest odds belong to David Pastrnak at plus 1,400. I think that's a pretty good bet right now because I think he's having, I wouldn't say the most impressive individual season, but his fantastic season is having the most obvious impact on a great team. Best player on the best team in the league, performing at the very height of his career so far. He's in a contract season. The incentive will be there for him to continue on this path. Pastrnak plus 1,400, but I will throw Jeff Merrick's pick out there.
Paige Thompson
at plus 2,000.
If the Sabres
get into the playoffs,
Justin,
and the Oilers miss the playoffs, I actually think there's a decent opportunity for Tage to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw both those out there for you.
I like the Tage Thompson one. This seems so ridiculous because it's going against Connor McDavid, but things are not going well in Edmonton. Like it's tumultuous times. They don't know they're getting Evander Kane back probably this month, which is going to be a good boost in terms of like a little bit of solidity up at the top of their roster. But McDavid looks frustrated. He looks like he's not getting what he wants out of this season. And that's simply stated. But they could make a splash at the trade deadline. And I think we discussed that with, are they going to go for a defenseman? Like they got to go. Like they got to start giving Connor McDavid a shot at winning the Stanley Cup. And I think that's where the level of frustration is. I think it'd be really tough for him to not win the Hart. But if I'm looking at a futures, I want to vote for the story.
Okay. You know? Are we circling Tage?
I think that would be fun.
I'll throw this out there to try and convince you. $50, 25 each, not a big deal, pays $1,000.
That's pretty good. You know how much Timmy's we can buy with that and our morning coffees?
Timmy's for the year or a month? We'll see.
I think that it's really highly unlikely, but it would suck to not get on that bandwagon.
And why don't we want to cheer for Tage Thompson the rest of the way?
And that's what I brought up with Jeff. I really want to see the Sabres play some meaningful games here. They've been really fun to watch. They're evil in those jerseys, except when they lost them the other day. But, like, I'm all for Buffalo right now.
Okay, our first team future. Tage Thompson plus 2,000 to win the Hart Trophy.
It sounds ridiculous, honestly, when you say it, but, like...
It's not that ridiculous.
I know the Oilers are still in a great spot.
They're not in a great spot.
Like,
McDavid's in a great spot.
That's what I mean. McDavid is still McDavid.
Okay.
But, like, technically, they're not far... from getting
I'm telling
to the
you,
same...
there are going to be people that refuse to vote for Connor McDavid.
Just because it's Connor McDavid. And
no,
their playoff
just
success.
Because they don't make the playoff. If they don't make the playoffs.
How far are they away from not making the playoffs?
They're in wild card position right now, I believe. NHL.com is being finicky right now. I'm trying to find exactly where they are.
Throwing you
the Buffalo Sabres are 6 points out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on 8th place Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And the Edmonton Oilers are in the final wild card spot, locked in with the exact same record as the St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nashville Predators have 3 games in hand and are just 1 point back. The Colorado Avalanche are also outside the postseason picture
right now.
There's
a lot that might change.
So Edmonton has to not they're not catching, I don't think, Vegas, LA, or Seattle. Mm-hmm. They're 7 points back right now, and they've played more games than Seattle. They've got Nashville and Colorado nipping at their heels. They've got to outgun Calgary in the Battle of Alberta.
But who's going to help you outgun them? Connor McDavid.
Okay, but if he doesn't, do we not want some plus 2,000s?
Yes, I'm all for that. I also think I'd like to sprinkle on the Logan Thompson Calder.
Okay. I'm going to leave that for you.
Yeah.
But our first team future, morning show future.
Big Thompson fan here.
Tage Thompson.
I'm going 2,000. Tage and Logan for our little futures here. Okay, well, it's a good roundup. This is where you look for value. Do you want to quickly talk about Tua and the Dolphins?
Yeah, quickly. The line was minus 11 for the Buffalo Bills for most of the week up until this point, and it dropped yesterday to minus 9, so the Bills a 9-point favorite at home against Miami. We can only really infer that there's some, not expectation, but there is a chance that Tua Tagovailoa will be available for Miami. That's the only reasonable explanation for the price to go through.
I mean, he's not even cleared the practice yet.
Go through a key number like 10 from 11 to 9. There must be someone who believes something. That's the only explanation for that. So,
Mike McDaniel literally said on Monday that he's not cleared for practice.
It's bad. It's negligence. I'm already worried about the result. But if there's the numbers moving like that, there's only one explanation for it, and that's that someone thinks Tua is at least an option for Miami.
Double down on the Bills, minus 9.
Okay. Double down on the Bills.
I don't know. I would be shocked if Tua can turn it around on Wednesday, get ready to play on Sunday at 1 p.m.
Well, that's why it's gambling. If you believe that that's far-fetched, grab the 9 because you're going to feel really good about having a 9 if Skylar Thompson, with an injured ankle, I think it is, behind center for the Miami Dolphins. So we'll continue to monitor that.
Okay. Well, those are your future picks. Justin came to the table with the revenge game / narrative pick for tonight. Usually that's my thing, but he came in ready to rumble. So David Camp, his guy, of course, Justin knows when it's his birthday because it's circled on your calendar.
It's my lane. It's my wheelhouse.
It's his birthday today. And he's at 99 career points. Well, wouldn't that be nice if he scored on his birthday to get to 100 points?
Oh, I made a mistake. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
It's his birthday week. It's his birthday
week. How did you not really know that?
Got some bad information.
You're not really a friend.
Got some bad information.
Okay, but
birthday
still,
week.
That's great. Plus 540 to score tonight. Maybe that's something you throw in for just $5.
Hits the Century Club in the NHL. Century Club to celebrate on his birthday?
No.
No,
he's a professional. Okay, so my pick from tonight's game, we got to circle through this quick. I'm going under in the Leafs-Preds game. We just talked about how electric the goaltending has been for the Nashville Predators. If the Leafs are without Austin Matthews, there's one of your main offensive threats. I don't think Bobby McMahon's filling that void too strongly. And I'm not sure who's starting for the Maple Leafs, but they need a bounce-back game in net. You know, it's been up and down. We need a good, solid home ice performance. If it's Murray, if it's Samsonov, I don't know. I just think it should be a little bit of a tighter match locked in here. It's a physical game. I like the under tonight.
I feel like it's going to be Samsonov. And that doesn't make me feel one way or the other. I think
it'll still be 4-0.
I think the Maple Leafs could tell themselves, convince themselves it's a litmus test, to use one of your phrases. Because this is not a great team, not a team performing at a high level, but a team that's on a little bit of a roll right now.
Yeah.
And they are better when they face some injury adversity. TJ Brody out, Austin Matthews may be dealing with something. I think this game could hit the under. However, I've seen it move now from 6.5 to 6 where I'm looking. So if you can grab that 6.5, do it sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm going 6.5. So okay. Under 6.5 will be.
So you're going to tease it up regardless.
Well, I have it at 6.5 okay. Currently. So
I will try to juice it up a little bit. The LA Kings minus 1.5 on the puck line plus 120. 110. Put a tenny on it. The Kings the Kings are hosting the Sharks, who played last night, got a big victory last night. But I feel like it's difficult for a team that is already lacking talent to turn it around and have two really strong performances in a row. So I'll take the Kings to win comfortably against their Californian rivals.
All right, let's go through our anchor submissions quickly here. Malcolm from Niagara. First Wake and Rake pick for the show is a doozy. Yikes, still got the Raps win, though. A couple picks I like. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. No comeback narratives this morning, thanks to Scotty. I see some value with the Milwaukee Bucks. Money line or on the spread. Michael Bunting, 1 point. Or Austin Matthews over 3.5 shots. Not sure if he's playing, so
definitely
move off
not
that,
getting
one.
That line. Yeah, Scotty Barnes is crossed off temporarily.
That's right.
We can consider Milwaukee.
Okay. Good morning. It's Eric from Burlington. No novel today. Have to even out the word count for the week. Pick the Oilers and the Ducks over. Maybe Oilers puck line as well. But Jack Campbell and net, this could be dicey. Love the guy, but it's true.
Yeah, maybe good old Mason McTavish needs to put up a couple. It makes sense. Makes sense. But if the Oilers have been kind of slapped around a little bit here by their coach, maybe they try to put a strong defensive effort forth, and what better team to do that against, but Anaheim, so I don't know about that one.
All right, good morning. For today's Wake and Rake, I like anyone from the Oilers' top-ranked power play unit against the Ducks' 30th-ranked penalty kill. McDavid, minus 200. Leon, minus 200. Hyman, plus 110. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, plus 110. Barry, plus 125. Also, I haven't seen the odds up for it yet, but I like Randall over 10.5 rebounds. That's go back to the bank. Seems like an automatic play lately. That's Tim Tom from the Schwa.
Yeah, two juiced on McDavid and Drysdale. I think we got a pass.
Okay. Good morning, Rakers. I'm liking the over tonight in the Leafs Preds. Oop, awkward. I'm feeling a top-line night as well as Bunting for an assist at plus 170 and a William Nylander goal at plus 140. Their juicy numbers. Roman Josi is the power play point getter tonight at plus 225. Go Leafs go. That's Adam in the truck.
If we're choosing an under game script, let's not pick any points because we don't think they're going to be any goals.
Adam. Take Roman Josi to score tonight. Predators come in on a 5-game winning streak, and Josi has been stellar in the blue line. Note, the Leafs may be without Austin Matthews tonight. Frankie from Woodbridge.
Same analysis. If we're saying no goals, let's not bet on a goal.
Good morning. First of all, Juliana and I want to say that we miss our guy, Parlay Poppy. Same. Haven't heard his picks in a while. My anchor pick is of the Raptors hit last night, and let's keep it rolling. Going to old faithful Julius Randle hit over his rebounds. It's hit 13 out of 14. I know it's boring to keep hearing his name, but it doesn't lose. Juliana's going to take a hot player tonight. She says take an anytime goal from Alex Ovechkin at plus 110. Carter Hart is starting today, so look for Ovi to fill the net. We might be doing a $5 on an Ovi hat trick at plus 3,500.
Ovi is on the road at Philly. The Flyers have ruined fun recently, so I'd rather go Randall.
Okay, well, Randall's been in our Hall of Fame here. Two more quickly. Good morning. I want to apologize to you guys, all the Wake and Rakers who parlayed because Scotty Barnes. I was reminding myself why I don't bet basketball. Tonight I'll take Connor McDavid over 1.5 points as my Wake and Rake. You have to play a little juice at that, but it's a good parlay piece. The Oilers are playing the Ducks. Should be a big night for McDavid.
160 for 2 points is pretty steep.
Yep. Final one here is from Gary from Caledon. Dylan Brooks under 18 points. It's been free all year.
Except when he's in Toronto.
That's true. Okay, so should we go back to our guy, Randall, over rebounds? Or should we try something different like the Ducks, Oilers over, or the Milwaukee Bucks money line? I'm going to let you pick because yesterday I picked and it was wrong.
The Milwaukee Bucks are just 2.5-point favorites now.
It's a tight game.
At Atlanta, the number has moved and that means there's something fishy. So I think we go with old reliable. The heat check from Ron continues. We keep passing the ball.
And we had a second one in the text line, too.
Let's keep passing the ball to him. Randall until it loses? No. Randall, at least for tonight, because it hasn't lost in a very, very long time.
It's currently not up, but we're just going to guess it's at 10.5 or whatever, hit the over.
All right. Should we choose something that's up?
No.
Okay.
You'll know. That's part of it. So, under tonight in the Preds and Maple Leafs game, it's at 6.5. Let's just find it at 6.5 or whatever you feel like. If it's 6, go for it. Kings on the puck line against the Sharks. And then our old faithful, Randall over, 10.5 rebounds. It's probably there, but...
Can he solidify Hall of Fame status tonight in the Wake and Rake with another cover?
It's going to be around plus 585 tonight for the Wake and Rake parlay. Wish you the best of luck. Get your Price is Right fund going. Tonight, Maple Leafs here against the National Predators, and you can check that out on Sportsnet. And we'll be back tomorrow morning on Baby Friday to break it all down. Thanks for listening to the Fan Morning Show this morning with Justin and Ailish. Have a great day.